Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Raising the Vibration with Sheena Metal, only on LA Talk Radio.
It's Raising the Vibration right here on LA Talk Radio. For more info on the show, latalkradio.com, raisingthevibrationradio.com. Don't forget to email me. I'm Sheena Metal, and I'm at sheenametal.com and sheenametalspiritual.com. And don't forget to email me and let me know what you think of the show on social media. I'm just at Sheena Metal everywhere. And we're here on this show because almost 3 years ago, I founded a movement of peace, love, kindness, and unity, which is at raisingthevibration.org, and I am raisingthevibration.com. And I do all kinds of different things from the show, from interviewing people who have become part of my advisory board to interviewing people with wonderful causes to sometimes we just take calls and we talk about a topic. And we've done everything from empathy to narcissism to if you've had a spiritual paranormal encounter, anxiety, all different kinds of things. Tonight on the show, it's interesting because I had set this topic up, and then my dear friend Radon Chong was my guest on my daily Sheena Metal Experience show here just a couple minutes ago we ended. And she was talking so much right at the get-go about human beings and fear. And that's what I had decided tonight's topic was. You know, what do you fear? What are you trying to get over that you fear? I think that is such an important thing because I myself, true confession, am a person who has oftentimes had a lot of fear in my life. And from having that fear, I have drawn into me people that were not good for me. Because fear can be a crippling thing and it can stop you from doing things in your life. It can also bring in the wrong kind of energies into your life when you act out of fear. And it's funny because I recently reconnected with a dear friend and we had dinner. And my friend was telling me about how, you know, we had both had encounters with people who were not acting in our best interest. And my friend said a very interesting thing about how, I have been fearful that I wanted things and I wasn't going to have, you know, someone to come in and back them or the right money to do things, as all of us in the entertainment business and the spiritual arts have a million projects and we're just trying to figure out how we can afford to get them made, right? And that want of something and the fear that there wasn't going to be enough to make it happen inevitably led to drawing in an energy that was very dark and very unhealthy. And I think that I've been there many times in my life. Somebody comes into my life and it seems like they have this wonderful thing that I've always wanted and they're going to help me and we're going to work together and make money for both of us or help people together or whatever the story is. It just seems like it's going to be so beautiful. And then the next thing I know, it turns out to be a very dangerous situation. So these are things that, you know, that are fear motivated. What are you afraid of? What do you fear? That's what we're talking about all this show. And I'm going to be taking your calls. So here's how we do the calls. You got to send me a text message, 818-437-0886. Never fear. That's my private cell. And it's only going to go to me. Here it is. Yay. And you can text me your number, and then I can call you and put you in our system. You may already actually be in our system if you've called into one of my shows before here. I do a lot of call-ins on Tuesdays. I call it Psychic Tuesdays on both my Haunted Playground show and my Sheena Metal Experience show on Tuesday. I do Lightworkers Unite. I get together with wonderful lightworkers, and we do some spiritual counseling and some free readings and some energetic healings. And so it's basically the same thing there. You've got to text me your number and we call you. So if you're already in my system or you're already in my phone, you might just want to text me your name anyhow, because we all know I've been in phone hell since the end of July when my phone went swimming and died. But the good news I found out today is they saved all my data. So how about that? So soon I will have my data. It will be loaded onto one phone. I will have another phone. There'll be two phones. It's going to be very exciting, and I'm very excited. So I am absolutely happy to be here, absolutely crazy about all of you for being a part of this with me. And I'm very excited to do this topic tonight because, as I said, it's something very near and dear to my heart. And I just think that like all of our lives would be so much better, and mine included. I'm talking 100% about my life at the same time. If we just let the fear go. And it's been a process for me over years of allowing the fear to go. And I still have places where there's fear. I still worry about things. I still panic about things. I still am not a person who lives fearlessly. Now, part of that is my empathy. I'm a very empathetic person. And empathetic people tend to think about the consequences of things and worry about other people's feelings and things. And we talked about that on our empathy show. And also on our narcissism show about people who have a lack of empathy. So that's part of it. But I think a lot of it, I would be lying if I didn't tell you the truth. A lot of it is fear. I am a person who, because I can see all the outcomes, because I can see potentially what could go wrong, sometimes I can be very fear-based. And in my life, I believe that I have not evolved in certain ways until later in my life and could have, you know, people who came into my life with negative energies have distracted me from my path, from this, my path of helping people, all because of my fear, because I was fearful. So the first thing I have to say is you got to let fear go. The fear that somebody's going to take something of yours or take over something or leave you alone or hurt you in some way. You just can't worry so much about it. My mother was an incredibly fear-based person. Very on the down low, so I didn't know, but I found out later in life. Until she got to a certain age. I remember she told me once when she turned 40, that 40 was just like 20 plus not giving a shit. And then when she turned 60, that 60 was even less giving of a shit. And so she let a lot of fear go, and she would always say, you can't worry about everything, and it hasn't happened yet, and, you know, just let's worry about it when it happens. These were all things that she sort of raised me on. So you would you'd think I was the coolest cucumber without a pulse, and in some ways I am. But there are other ways where I'm very fearful and very worried about things quite a bit. So these are things to think about. These are things to look at in yourself and ask yourself, am I a person who is fearful? And what do I fear? You know, what am I exactly fearing? The statement, there's nothing to fear but fear itself, is actually truer than you would imagine, because a lot of times what we fear is actually just the fear. And because we're fearful, we're allowing bullies to come into our life and kind of ride roughshod over us because of that fear. So it's very important to get your fear in check, my friends, and not be somebody who lives in a place of fear. It's hard. Easier said than done. I completely get it, and I'm still working on it. There are things, I just went through this kind of health crisis where my electrolytes dropped. I almost passed out one day. I was so scared it was going to come back, and then horrible anxiety came and panic attacks, and I've really been through the ringer this last couple of months. But as that's happened, and as I had the problem with my knees earlier from falling during a musical and hurting myself, I've become somebody who was physically weaker. And even when people see you as physically weaker, they think they can prey on you. So your fear weakens you. People think that their fear strengthens them, that fear makes it them impenetrable. But as long as I'm fearful of something, nobody's going to get in and hurt me. The truth is just the opposite. Your fear is a way of crippling you. And your fear, the fear of what could happen or what might happen or, oh my God, could that happen? That fear makes your life not only makes your life more unhappy, but makes you so much more susceptible to being attacked by an outside person in an outside place. It's part of the reason why, you know, whenever you're in a place where you feel weak emotionally or spiritually or physically, physiologically, oh, that's always when, you know, the fear comes, because the fear comes, and then that's when you always get sort of attacked the most by people. So remember that part of getting rid of fear part of taking the fear out of your life is simply getting rid of fear. And that probably sounds completely nuts, but it's absolutely true. What do you fear? That's what we're talking about. So if you want to get on the show, send me a text message, 818-437-0886. And it doesn't have to be something you fear now. If that's too revealing and you're worried about that, it can absolutely be something that you used to fear, and maybe you don't fear anymore. You know, it doesn't have to be, it doesn't have to be a current fear if you're scared to speak about a fear. I'll probably, during the course of the show, talk about a lot of fears that I've conquered, and maybe I'll even speak about a couple of fears that I haven't if I'm feeling particularly bold and brave. Maybe I'll do that now. I'm like, should I do it right now? Okay, let's do one right now. This is a fear I don't know that I've ever talked about. I mean, with friends, but not on the air. Can you believe something I've never talked about on the air? It's like a miracle of God. I am very fearful all the time that I'm in trouble. For somebody who, you know, pretty much walks the straight and narrow and never drank, never did a drug, never smoked a cigarette or had a cup of coffee, or now is sugar-free, gluten-free, dairy-free, is very honorable in my friendships. There's something about, I'm always, and had a parent that loved me, and I was almost never in trouble. And if I ever was, on the very few occasions that I was in trouble, I can tell you I asked for it. But I always have this fear that somebody's going to be mad at me or not like me, or that I did something wrong, or that somebody's upset with me and hasn't told me. And I'll tell you, the fear of that has drawn in a lot of really dark energies in my life, and not benefited me in my life. So that is a place where fear has not served me. And I think it's sort of an offshoot of, like I said before, you know, worrying about all the different scenarios and what could possibly go wrong, in the way that, as the fear that I've struggled with my whole life, with claustrophobia and agoraphobia and anxiety and panic, is just that. It's the fear of what. So I'm passed out, right, because my electrolytes dropped because of an incident that happened to me where I was in a machine I shouldn't have been in as long as I was. And it was there was an obvious reason why it happened. Yet for me, it was the panic of, well, what if it really happened because you're about to have a heart attack? What if it really happened because you're about to have a stroke? What if it really happened because some organ in your body is, you know, deciding to freak out and leave your body? Or what if? And that's where the fear comes from. And when I was young, I would spin and spin and spin and spin and spin and spin. Now I take a deep breath and I have a serious conversation with myself. And I say, okay, well, all right. What could this honestly be? What's the worst that could happen? And, you know, how does this manifest itself? And really walk through the steps of, is that something that's really going to happen? If you stand up to this person and tell them how you really feel, are they actually going to leave your life? Because you know it has to be done, and you know you're not happy with the relationship until you do it. So why aren't you doing it? I mean, this is basically what it's about. And, this is what it's like to deal with fear on a core level. So that's something to think about. What are the different kinds of fear? How can fear manifest itself? And I think my whole life, although I knew that was true about me, I don't think I ever really did anything about it. I think I always just assumed that my real problem with fear was, like I said, claustrophobia, agoraphobia, worries about my health going wrong. It was funny because I've had so many health problems in my life. I've been in the hospital so many times, yet I worry about a health problem like nobody's business. It's like, you dummy, you know what it's like to have health problems. You know what it's like to conquer health problems. You know what it's like to be in the hospital. You've survived all of that. So why are you so worried? But, you know, I worry. So when something happens, like my electrolytes drop and I almost pass out and I feel terrible for a couple of months, I start thinking about, what's the bigger cause? What could it be? And right after that happened, like the first, second week of August, I was having, you know, 1 to 2 major panic attacks a day, at least. That was a good day, sometimes more. And there were times where I would walk into a store, and part of what happened with the electrolyte imbalance, I would get very overheated. I would walk into a store and start to overheat, and because it was hot, because it was August and it's Southern California, and I would panic and literally like take all the stuff in my bag that I was going to purchase, put it all out on the shelf, and just wherever I was. So they were probably like, "Who's this weirdo that left all their stuff in one place?" And literally just bolt out the door, because the thought of having to wait in the line and on the most recent holiday on Labor Day, I was waiting in line in a big store to get my best friend a birthday present. And I was literally heading to her house to give it to her. And I said, "You know, there's no way you're going to wait in this line." And I go to get in the line, and it's not a very well air conditioned place, which, you know, may or may not be Walmart. I love you, Walmart, but the AC really. And you know, and down at the beach, everything's very humid. So it's a hot, humid, and there are lots of bodies in there because it's a holiday. And then I get in, there's like six people in front of me in every line. And I'm waiting and I'm waiting and I'm overheating and I'm overheating and the panic setting in. And, you know, I worry that when the panic sets in or I get overheated, my heartbeat's going to go irregular and I can feel my heartbeat starting to get a little fluttery. And man, I was like, "You stand in this line and you make this work." And I was literally counting the steps to the car. 10 more steps and you can turn the air conditioning on. 8 more steps, you can turn the air conditioning on. That's what panic is like. But other places I've been since then, the drugstore, the grocery store, God, where else? The health food store. I've literally walked in and just taken everything out of my basket or my cart or whatever it is, stuck it on a shelf and just bolted. Because I was in the middle of a panic attack. And this is me at 52, the most grounded I've ever been, the most connected to source I've ever been, helping others as a spiritual counselor. And one silly health anomaly happens, compiled on the other silly accident, which I said this whole year of my life has been a comedy of errors. First, I fell when I shouldn't have because someone didn't put reflective tape on the stage. Then I had an accident when somebody should have been watching me and my electrolytes dropped. Then, you know, then because of that, I developed an infection in my body, which caused my stomach to get weird, which triggered me to get AFib, which made the panic even worse. I mean, everything just compiled the panic. And now here I am, you know, running out of a drugstore, running out of a grocery store as an adult on an afternoon because I'm hot. And I know I can't wait in the line. And then the fear comes. And then you get in the car, you start turning the air conditioning on, and you calm down. And then you start beating yourself up because you got scared. So one of the most important things about fear is not just to face the fear head on and tell the fear to go screw itself. That's wonderful if you can do that. But also not beat yourself up. Realize what the fear is. And quantify the fear by saying, I'm just going to keep trying. I'm just going to keep going into the store and trying to get the stuff. And if I can't do it and I wind up just getting one thing, or I just get my prescription or my chicken or whatever and get the hell out of there, okay. It's about just going and doing something and not letting the fear take you over. Boy, I'm being really honest right now, aren't I? I guess I better check my phone and see if anybody wants to call in, because I would much prefer other people be honest at this point than me just sit and talk about fear. But so I'm going to get some folks to call in, and we're going to talk about this all this show. What do you fear? This is the most important thing that we are talking about. What do you fear? We all fear something. So let's talk about what you fear, my friends. 818-437-0886. That's the number to text me. It's 818-437-0886. I am checking all my places to see who wants to call in and at what time. And look at how wonderful everybody's being in our chat room right now. So awesome. You guys are all in there commenting. It's so beautiful. I love our chat room. I forget it exists on Facebook sometimes. I have to remember to go and check it, because I'm schooled old school in radio, where there is no chat room and everything is put this down so you don't hear it, happening on the radio and what I'm saying, and that's it. I forget that there are lovely people interacting in the chat room, and and find out what people want to talk about. Okay, so I'm going to ask, somebody wants to talk about elevators, and that's one of mine too. Let's see if I can get Christina from the chat room to call in and talk to me about elevators, because that's one I still haven't overcome. Although it doesn't seem like such a big deal right now with everything I've been through this year. The elevator seems like the least of my biggest concern right now would be how long could I stand up in the elevator? And if I sat down with my knees, could I get back up? So I just want to get the first one set up, and then I can organize all your calls while somebody is talking. So let's see if we can get, hang on. The good news is they saved all my phone data from my phone that went swimming. So in a couple of weeks, I will have my phone reloaded and I'll have more access to everyone's numbers, which is the best news in the world. Let's see. Somebody is now calling me, but they're calling me on the phone instead of texting me. You got to text me, folks. 818-437-0886. I can't pick up the phone because I'm on the air. And then I'll put your phone in the system and I will call you. So I have to text that person that just called too and let them know. It's probably Christina when I asked her if she wanted to talk about elevators. So here we go. Oh, I have a bunch of people on here that have called that. Okay. All right. Okay. Here we go. Anyway, so that's what we're talking about. We're talking about fear. And, you know, I was talking a little bit with Radon about societies like our country and our world and, you know, different governments and people in societies and people in countries and politics and sociology and the media and how much people are really influenced by fear. And that really came about because I watched this reboot of the Mary Queen of Scots story, this new one that had Margot Robbie and Saoirse Ronan in it. And I have to tell you, it just watching how Mary Queen of Scots was treated by her own Scottish people and the web that was spun around her to make her believe that make them believe that she wasn't a good queen, that she was this, that she was that. Just completely terrifying, my friends. What a scary thing about people that you can change the dynamic of an entire country or society or tribe or community or species, if it's the human species, simply by adding the element of fear and how people will act when they feel fearful. Or just how you can influence people through fear, how you can scare people. I mean, look at how in many lines of work, I know growing up in entertainment, it was this way, right? One day the entertainment industry, not anymore because of the internet, but one day the entertainment industry would tell the world, this person's not popular anymore. We don't like this person. You don't want to see this person on TV anymore. You don't want to see movies with this person. This person is done. They're yesterday. They're has been finished. And then that would be the end. That's how scary it is. That's what's terrifying, that would then be the end for that person, because people believe what they hear oftentimes. And I've seen that with my own eyes. I've seen somebody go around and try. I've been in stores shopping or, you know, whatever. And I've seen somebody go around at the store and trash talk another person who works there, just trying to cause trouble. Going around to everybody else working that day saying, you know, we don't like this person, or, you know, she's not doing anything. She's being lazy and she's supposed to be manning the register and she's doing nothing. Cause I listen to conversations going on around me all the time. And I hear that. I hear people at restaurants that I'm sitting next to talking to each other about, oh, we don't like her anymore. We don't like him anymore. You know what? We just don't talk to him anymore. And I've had that happen in my own life. You know, my best friend, Ellie Weiss, always says, you know, who are we mad at, the narcissists or the people that believe them? And I was talking to Radon today about it. We were talking a little bit about just that ideology. And I was using the Mary Queen of Scots movie as a reference, talking about how much people. people are led by fear. And it's the fear inside of you that leads to that fear of being of the susceptibility. Now, that's not one of my fears. I'm not a susceptible fear person. I had a lot of problems. That's not one of them. I'm worried every day that maybe my heart's not beating right, but I'm not like believing some weirdo who's walking around saying, it's that person. But I've been that person. So I will give you an example, because I'm all about examples tonight. All right, we got to get some folks lined up here. Hang on a second. We're getting some folks all lined up, my friends. Here we go. We're going to get Christina lined up, and I'm going to tell this story while we put her in the Skype system. So here's something that I have dealt with in my life, and I've recently dealt with, and this is what's going on with me, my friends. So my parents were very solitary people. I mean, they had their friends, and I'm certainly not a solitary person, but I moved out when I was, you know, just shy of 24. I lived at home a long time because I loved my mama. But my father was a very solitary person with not a lot of friends, and they weren't very fond of each other. So when my father got older, he discovered how fun it was to go around to all the neighbors and tell them all his domestic problems and paint this picture of my mom like she was a mean person, because that's just naturally what he did. That was his own operating system, and that was his own problem, right? So after he died, my mother was in a wheelchair at home, out when she was about, or a walker when she was out, her cane, then a walker, sometimes a wheelchair. In the house, she walked a little bit, also used a wheelchair a little bit. When people saw her in the yard, she was usually in her chair. So this, a couple times she fell and the firemen had to come. So this fear was created in the neighborhood surrounding this woman that hardly anybody saw. Even when I was visiting, we stayed inside a lot because we weren't really people to be outside a lot because we're Irish and we burn. She hated the sun. And, you know, if we went somewhere, we went out of the garage. So nobody really saw a lot happening around the house. And I was not aware that what was happening was that this weird sort of fear was developing around what was going on with my mother and who she was and what was going on in that house. So then she passed and I took over the house and I've been fixing the house up to move in half time, but I'm not there all the time. And there are a lot, not there a lot, sometimes a lot, sometimes just depends. So this one particular neighbor who is a trouble causer, as often is the who feeds on the fearful, started basically going up and down the neighborhood and to anybody that would listen, telling stories of what might be going on inside my mother's house. And it was just craziness, you know, it was insanity, that the house was falling apart inside, which is completely not true, that mice and rats were running out of the house, which is completely not true. I just heard that a couple of days ago from somebody who lives down the street that, oh, you know, they said they saw rats in your trees. Well, let me tell you something. I just had everything in my garden and all of my front and backyard and patio and the trees themselves. I have two beautiful palms. I'm going to post an Instagram picture of them. Two beautiful palms, totally serviced and groomed, not a rat living in the tree. And people started believing it because there wasn't somebody to see all the time to say something different. And it's really taught me how when you go through a hard time like my mom did and like I have since her death, and you pull back a little from it all, the bullies can come in and play on people's fear and convince them of anything. And luckily for me, two things happened. One, when I took care of my mom at the house, part of having a person at home being taken care of in their home is the county sends out social workers and they have to approve the house for the patient to be there. So that was done when I brought her home 4 years ago. The other thing is that when she died, the lovely bully neighbor called the city and told all their stories. And I knew it was them because it was the same thing they'd sent to me in a text message under a fake name, just so you know, because I don't ever want you to think bullies have balls, because they don't. And so I had a lovely talk with the man from the city and he came and checked everything out. So, you know, obviously, if somebody says something, I just say, look, talk to the city, talk to the county. The house is clean. But isn't it interesting how when you're in a position where you're in a weakened state, people move in on you? Okay, another example. When my knees went bad this year and I wasn't around, I wasn't here at LA Talk Radio, you weren't seeing me out much, I wasn't doing much, a person in my life who, unbeknownst to me, was a bully, started telling people, oh, you know, she's losing her radio gig and she's not going to be around any longer and she's not a part of our crowd anymore and she's leaving the business and she doesn't care. And people believed it. And I'm the person, right, because I told you in the beginning, my fear is I'm always worried I'm disappointing somebody. Somebody's mad at me. I've done something wrong. So I immediately start to go into this place of, and I've learned to fight that. Fight the bully. Fight the fear. If you fight the fear, the bully goes away. And sometimes in some situations, the bully is your fear. You're being bullied by your own fear. So these are just all things to think about, my friend. So we're going to get Christina on with us and we're going to talk about, you know, if I'm not already freaked out enough, we're going to talk about elevators because that's something that most absolutely and truly scares the crap out of me. Hang on a second. I don't know why I'm not seeing her here. Oh, because I put her name in with a typo. That's okay. Call her now, fix the typo later. Yay! All right, Christina, we're coming for you. Here we go. It's time for the Skype dance. Bloop, bloop, bloop. Bow, bow, bow. Bow, bow, bow. Wah, wah, wah. Bow, bow, bow. I'm singing the Skype song to you so you all know that I love you enough to sing you the Skype song. If you want to call in and talk to me live on the air, 818-437-0886. Let's talk about fear. And in talking about fear, let's fight fear. How does that sound? Christina, welcome to the show, my friend.
Well, thank you. How are you doing?
Jeff? I'm wonderful. How are you, sweetie? So good to hear your voice. Thanks for being here with me.
Absolutely.
So let's talk about fear. Now, are you a person that has a lot of fears or just this one in particular?
You know, actually, this one in particular, because we were just talking about this earlier with Mary. I was fearless, especially as a child, and I don't have a lot of fear, but I why? But I do. I hate them.
Yeah. No. Now, in an elevator, what is your fear? Or then I'll tell you mine.
You know, it's funny. I can get, you know, if I'm in Las Vegas or wherever, and they have the glass elevator.
Okay.
I can be in those all day long.
Yeah,
so I believe it's the enclosure, the coffin feeling.
Okay.
That you have in there. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't.
Crazy.
I don't like.
I just had to get one. And
I don't like the glass ones either because you're still trapped. To me, a glass coffin is still a coffin.
Well, thanks a lot. Now I'm going to think of that.
Well, but some people, if they can see, it's better. Not for me. I mean, I used to be so claustrophobic that it was hard to sit in traffic. I used to have a hard time with, you know, being in a theater or a stadium with like hundreds or thousands of people. I'm pretty much okay mm-hmm. with that now. Now it's only things I can't escape from of my own accord, which is basically elevators and the MRI machine. I don't want to be locked in rooms. As a matter of fact, for years I've played in bands, and you know when you rehearse in a rehearsal space, there are these closed, non-windowed, soundproofed rooms because that's what soundproofs the room. And I am forever going and opening the door just to make sure it opens. Because the thought of being stuck in a soundproof room, like, it would be so easy for someone to walk by and just stick a padlock outside that door and then we couldn't get out. I think about strange things like that. Even sometimes in the onesie restrooms where it's got the little latch lock, not the slider lock. I'm cool with that, but the one that like flips over. And I'm like, yeah, what if one day it just decided not to flip back?
That would be my luck.
Could I get out of this room? And I'm actually thinking about it. And you know, I probably should. I talk about it all the time. Carrying like a little screwdriver with both a Phillips and a flat. And if that ever happened, you just take the lock off. I mean, it's not, you know what I mean? You just take the lock off and that's the end of your problem. But
we don't think that. But we're not rationalizing that well.
No, I know, but every time I have to flip one of those locks, I always flip it over and then flip it back really quick and just make sure the door opens before I'll flip it back and go to the bathroom. Because I just have this weird feeling like, well, what if it, and sometimes it's really like, it feels real loose, like it's not going to go. And I'm like, oh no. And then I worry sometimes, this is, why am I telling people this? I worry sometimes when I'm in a bathroom like that and somebody's like pounding on the door trying to get in. I'm like, are they going to bend the lock and then it's not going to open?
Oh my God,
so like small spaces are not my friend. I used to be horrible with traffic. My biggest fear with traffic was that, you know how you always hear these stories about, oh, then there was an accident.
Come on, you live in LA.
Right? And I would, you'd always hear these stories about, oh, I was stuck on the 5 for 5 hours and it didn't move because there was an accident. That was my biggest, and I have avoided that a couple of times by seeing it coming and getting off the exit really quick. But my mom said to me once, look, just get out of the car. And I said, what? She's like, yeah, if it gets that bad and you're completely freaked out, get out of the car. And I said, well, what do I do? And she said, lock the car, go over to the exit, walk down the shoulder, get off the exit, find a phone, call me, and I'll come get you. And I said, well, wait a minute, because this is back when they were, you know, payphones. And I said, well, wait a minute. And she's like, what about my car? She's like, well, you know what? They'll charge you. We'll go back the next day. We'll pick up your car, and then you'll have it back. And just knowing that that was a possibility, I didn't know you could just leave your car and walk. But knowing that was a possibility made it that much better. And I mean, truthfully, you could pull your car over to the shoulder, right? And just leave it there. But I didn't know that that was something that was possible. And just knowing there was a way to get out of it. Like if I can, like I can't do an MRI, but I can do an open MRI. Because in an open MRI, you can pull yourself down on the sides and slide yourself back out. I don't like it because it still feels like a coffin on my face. But I can do it because I know I can get out of it. If I can get out of it, I'm okay.
Same here. Same with a CAT scan. They don't bother me either. But the MRI,
But you know what? Talk about a weird coffin thing from another life, right? The CAT scan, I have to close my eyes when it scans over me. Because just the thought of it scanning over my face freaks me out. But I just close.
Past life.
Right? I have a weird thing about being locked in somewhere.
Well, you don't remember back way back in the witch days, you know, and stuff, they were burying people alive. And it just, I sometimes wonder if that was my past life, if I was one of those thousands that were buried alive, you know.
Maybe. Are you a witch now? Is that not my business?
I'm not a witch. No, I'm not. But I feel like sometimes in my past life, there was something maybe like that.
Yeah.
So.
Do you ever think about it, about practicing a little bit?
No, I don't really practice witchcraft at all or any of the Wiccans and all that. No, I know quite a few because I've been in the psychic medium world. I'm a paranormal investigator, and so I know a lot. So I'm not fascinated enough to want to delve into it myself, but I've always been kind of interested in it, you know, fascinated by it.
Yeah.
And so it makes me think, was I, you know, in that realm back in the day, you know, in a past life? Because I think sometimes I was buried alive. I truly do. And that's what causes the fear in this life is, like you said, closed spaces. I too am a musician. I play a guitar and I played in a band and I played with my father in bands. And I know what you're talking about in the sound rooms and stuff. And yeah, I'm the same way. I want that door cracked or I want to go check that door once.
Yes.
That's why I was laughing when you said that.
Right.
'Cause I did the same thing. Even though there was a window there and I could see out.
Oh, we never had windows. You know? And there's always there's always that thing because at night they padlock the rooms with an outside lock, right? There's an outside latch and at night they padlock all the rooms so nobody breaks in. And even if they get in, they don't come in and steal the gear, right? Because most of them out here, they have a drum set and amps and stuff. So I would always think, well, God, somebody could literally just, they could decide to lock us in. And what could we do? You know where else is porta potties? There's a place on porta potties where you could just put a padlock, and it's like, wait a minute, I could get locked in a porta potty like that. But I mean, does that ever actually happen to anybody, or is that just my fear running wild? I mean, that's the thing.
People are punking you and stuff. People get punked in those things all the time, and I'm like, it'd be just my luck. Somebody's gonna punk me. Bunch of kids are gonna come along and lock it up, throw a rope around it or something,
right?
And drag me around.
Exactly.
I do. I think like that.
I was just happy in high school. I was too fat to fit in a locker, so nobody stuck me in a locker and locked it. But I had friends that happened to, and that must have been the worst.
Oh my God, that would definitely instill fear.
I think
that you almost have to be instilled the fear. Something's had to happen in a past life or your life now to cause fear.
Yeah.
I do.
Yeah.
My son did get me stuck in an elevator. But because he wanted to push every button, and it was old elevator, and he overrode it, and it was a big mess, and we were stuck in there for a while. It was horrible. And he's 37 now, and I think he was probably 8 when he did it. So that's how many years ago it was. But I think it just enhanced my fear, because I already had a fear of closed-in spots, places.
Yeah.
So, no, but it's horrible to have it. I had to go, my father just passed away, and we're doing probate stuff. I had to go to the courthouse, and of course, it's on the 4th or 5th floor, yeah. And I like, you have bad knees, and I'm like, I am not walking these stairs. So I made myself get in that elevator, and I'll tell you, girl, when I got out of that elevator, it was only like 4 or 5 stories, I can't remember. I was sweating all over. It was horrible.
Oh, I would gladly take the stairs, but they don't let you here. They lock the stairwells at the courthouses. I would be happy to take the stairs. Where are you at right now?
Right now I'm in Texas because I'm taking care of my folks, but I lived in LA area. I lived in Ontario and Upland and all that. So I know everywhere you go down there, there's elevators, right?
Yeah. And they lock all the stairwells. That's what I like about Orange County, because I grew up in Huntington, and I go down there and use a lot of the doctors and stuff because they have open stairwells in the doctor's offices.
Yeah, absolutely, because we lived in New Orleans for quite a few years, and you're absolutely correct.
Because to me, the older and the creepier the building, the less chance I'm going to go in an elevator.
Right? Oh, I hate them. Old ones, I fear those the most.
Do you know, they had my mom, the night my mom died, they had her on the 10th floor, and I had to go there and basically say goodbye to her, and I thought, isn't this just a bitch that not only is my best friend going to die, but I got to ride this scary elevator 10 stories to get to her. I mean, talk about terrifying.
Oh, God.
Right? I mean,
you didn't know what's terrifying? I got to interject real quick, girl, because I'm going to tell you what's terrifying. My father just passed away. He actually was killed.
I'm so sorry. Oh, honey, I'm so sorry.
It's been horrific, and it's been about 2.5 months. Well, we have a lawyer in Dallas, and they are on the 58th floor.
Oh, my God.
And I have to say, yes, I didn't even know they had that many stories. I didn't even know that existed. Did you? I know it does in
Los Angeles, but I didn't know that it did in Dallas.
Oh, I didn't know they were that big. I don't pay no attention. But I have to go when they file for the courts and stuff, which is a few more months down the road. But I've got to go down there. And I'm like, what? How the hell am I going to do that? Sheena, how am I going to get through this?
I had to do it once. Okay, so here we go. Here's my story. When I was on the Howard Stern station, we got picked up by, the LA Times did a 5-page Sunday calendar feature on my show. And all these high-powered agents offered us representation. And my radio co-host decided that we were going to go with this guy that worked for Don Buchwald and Associates, because that was Howard's agent. So, of course, the other people, the people from William Morris and the other people, they all were like, we'll meet you for lunch. But they were like, no, come to the office and we'll have lunch here. So, again, it was like on the 50th floor on Wilshire in the Mid-Wilshire district. And it was one of those ones where you had to take the freight elevator up to a certain floor. Yeah. And then from there, you had to take another elevator up to the other floor.
Oh.
Not freight elevator, but you know what I mean? Like the elevator that has no floors. It's like the expressway elevator.
I couldn't do it.
I literally just breathed and talked to myself the whole time. And then for a couple of years, I worked the NBC Universal Party as a psychic. And it was at a hotel in Hollywood. And it was on the rooftop patio, and there was an elevator, and it was the only way you got there, right? And of course, it didn't stop anywhere. It was a special elevator that just went to 12. So you got in, the doors closed, and it went to 12. Well, this is the worst part, Christina. You get in, and it's all red lights inside, these dark red lights.
Oh, hell no.
And
I'm sorry to say that.
And the walls are padded, and they're playing that music. So they say, oh, you're going up to 12? And I'd say, yeah. And they'd look at your invitation, right? And then these men in suits would put you in the elevator, and then they would lean in and push. And there's only one thing. There's only 1 and 12 are the only things on the thing. They'd reach in and they'd push 12, and then they'd reach out and the doors would close. And you'd think, okay, I'm going to die. I'm going to be stuck in the David Lynch elevator for the rest of my life. And the first time I was in there, and I was trying not to go in with like a whole bunch of people, because that makes it worse when it's stuffed with people. And at the last minute, they had to stop it. And I'm like, oh, my God, it's broken already. And they opened the doors and these two producer guys came in. I'm like, hey, you guys, where are you from? I'm Sheena and I'm the psychic. And they clearly did not want to talk to me. Then I was just chit-chatting up a storm till we got there, because if I can amuse myself, then the second time I went the next year, this cute little guy that was working the party decided that he was going to take me up. And man, I talked the whole time, and we got off the elevator and I said, I'm so sorry that I talked so much. I said, I hope you don't think I was hitting on you. I hate elevators and I need to talk. It makes me feel better. And he even looked at me and he went, oh my God, girl, I hate this thing. And I'm like, okay, cool. So it's not just me. I would have taken 12 flights of stairs if they'd had them. Like, I will climb stairs like nobody's business. But
yeah, I would on a good day.
You just kind of have to put yourself someplace else. When I went down that time, because they won't even let you take the stairs down either time, I got in the elevator and I was all by myself. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to call my best friend. So I moved some stuff around in my bag. I got out my phone. I unlocked my phone. I went to call my best friend. And by the time I started dialing her number, we were at the ground floor. The key is to occupy yourself. You have to keep yourself occupied, because I literally feel like my heart's going to stop beating because I'm like frozen in time when I'm in one of those things.
I get it. I did a private tour of the Queen Mary, a paranormal tour, and me and my team, and we went on. Have you been in the Queen Mary?
I've had so many. I've never done a tour, but I've had so many cool paranormal experiences there.
Oh my God, that place is amazing. Well, we went to the belly of the ship, and there's a little teeny weeny elevator. And I'm gay.
No.
I have a wife, so I can't say what happened. They put me in this teeny weeny little elevator with my wife, and we got in it, and they said, okay, we're going to send you down, and then there's a guy that's going to show you around down there. I'm not gonna listen.
Christina,
that
sounds like a punking. That sounds like something somebody says to you in a horror movie where they're like, oh, it's okay, we're just gonna close this coffin and then we're gonna let you right out.
I know. You can imagine how tiny it was. It's on the ship.
Yes.
It's this little teeny me and Mary barely fit, right? You know what we did? I did what you said. I occupied my mind and we made out all the way down.
Oh my, I can't believe you had it in you. I don't know that I would have had it in me to do that.
I had to occupy my mind as I was freaking out, girl. It was so scary.
I just hit on some poor gay kid, half my age all the way up, and he was so sweet. He probably thought, oh, this crazy middle-aged lady can't stop talking.
She's a cougar.
Exactly.
No, really,
yeah, this crazy psychic cougar is hitting on me in the elevator, and she doesn't know I'm gay.
Right? Crazy. Oh my God, that's crazy.
Yeah,
but no, I mean, that's
I couldn't
right.
do it. I
you
couldn't do it. I'd walk right away. I'd look at it and say, yeah, I can't. No, I can't. I can't. I can't. No.
I was already committed to do this thing, though. So I was like, oh God, I have to do it. We went down like two at a time. Me and Mary and then the other two on my team and the other two. And then these guys were waiting for us down there when we got down there to do this little private tour. But it was crazy.
Now,
that thing was tiny.
Now, do you have to go back up?
Yes, again, we went back up.
Well, you
it
know,
crazy
you know, there so, have to be stairs, right? Like, you know, like how when you get to the Queen Mary, there's you park your car, right? And then they want you to take that elevator up to the top. But there's actually a way you can take stairs. Did you know that?
I know what you're talking about.
There's like that outside area in the concrete. Mm-hmm. It has the stairwell. I do that. And then I get off. And at the top of those stairs, you get off and you walk into the ship and you're on the A deck, and then you just go up the internal stairs, three flights, and you're at where the front desk is. And that's what I do
everywhere.
Because I will take stairs anywhere. That's why I love cruise ships, because you can take the stairs everywhere.
Everywhere. Uh-huh. You can.
But
I've been on a few head escalators, so they were great. I don't mind those a bit.
Yeah. When I see the little tiny elevator for two, I'm like, yeah, no. And you know, the funny thing is that for a long time, I didn't have it. I had it when I was real little. I got it in a one of those, like, you know, you go to a carnival and they have the truck trailer and it's like a haunted house. And you have to crawl around in the dark. And I got stuck in this one place and I couldn't find my way out. You had to like dip down and go through. And everybody was backing up behind me. And that was when it started really bad. And then it went away. And I remember in college, Like, I would ride, like, the zipper, where they basically lock you in a cage and spin you in a circle. I would do everything. And then at some point in my life, it just came back. And with a vengeance, and I've been fighting it off ever since. But it used to be so much worse than it was. It's gotten so much better. But I keep telling myself every year, this is the year I'm going to conquer elevators. And it just... Right. It's just has not been the year. No, it has not been
the
year.
Well, I'm going to have to, because I have to go to Dallas and ride one, the highest I've ever been in one. So,
you know what?
I don't mind being tight. But
you're going to be okay. Because the thing is, the fancier the building, the it's like a legal office building. Is that what it is? Like a law office?
Yeah, it's a law office, legal office. I think they're bigger elevators. They're not so small.
Yeah.
I was told they're pretty large. But
yeah.
And smart. But I'll occupy my mind. Unfortunately, Mary's not going with me. So, I'll occupy my mind through cell phones or something.
But that sounds like it's going to be like a it sounds like it's going to be a new building, and the newer the building, because I don't think they've been buildings that high in Dallas before, right? That's all part of that new build up that's happening in Dallas.
It's got to be. I've never been that. I've been in Dallas, but I've never noticed. I didn't need to go in those buildings. So I don't look.
Yeah. Yeah, I love Dallas. I'd never been to Dallas before. I'd never been to Dallas before I started teaching there a year ago, and I just love it there so much. It's such a beautiful city. I could be very happy living in Dallas.
Next weekend, but I don't go to the big building. There's no reason to go down there.
No, and I pass the big buildings because I fly into Love, because I fly Southwest.
Yeah,
and my
I've done that too.
Oh God, and my friend lives in. Something Elm. Oh, I always forget. Something Elm.
There's so many suburbs over there, I can't even keep up with them all.
And so it's like a 45-minute ride, and we pass all these giant buildings, and I'm like, ew, who works there? I always feel bad for people. Like, who has to work here every day? That would make me so sad. That's why I could not live in New York, because you know if I lived in New York, it was like, oh, the gynecologist is on the 150th floor. It's like, no, I can't do that. No. I don't know how people do that every day. Although as a kid, I went to the top of the Empire State Building. I went to the top of the World Trade Center. I went to the top of the Sears Tower in Chicago, which was the tallest building in the world at the time. I didn't even think twice about it. But my mother, who never told me she was claustrophobic until I was in high school, and it really hit me. I think about, like, how in the world she must have white-knuckled it. The top of the Statue of Liberty, the top of the Washington Monument. We did all that stuff. She must have been freaking out, but she just bit her tongue and did it. Have you ever seen, I'll say one more thing, and I know we have folks that want to get on. Have you ever seen the way that they put you to the top of the arches in St. Louis? Have you ever seen that?
No, I've seen on TV. I've never been there personally. Yes. No, I am not doing that.
I saw this thing where it was these basketball players, like the Lakers or something, were playing a game there, and they wanted to show them what it was like, and they took these two, like, 7-foot-tall guys, and they crammed them into this tiny little capsule. It's like an elevator, but you sit down. It's like a cat, and then they shoot you up on a diagonal till you get to the top, and I'm like, no, never, ever, no.
How could you even think about this? I couldn't. There's no way.
People don't think twice about it. I just watched that movie First Man, which I thought was wonderfully done. I'm like, how did somebody crawl in a tiny place and go to space? I'm not scared to go to space. I'm scared to go to space in a tiny capsule.
There you go. That's me. I mean, I'm not scared of vast places. I'm not scared of heights. Anything like that. I mean, I've tipped my head over the Grand Canyon. It didn't bother me a bit.
Yeah.
But put in a little capsule or a little elevator or something, it's just not going to happen. I want to get over the fear. I just can't quite get there.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I can tell you, when they make an escalator to space, I'll go.
All day long. I will.
Escalator to space. Thank you so much for the call, sweetheart. You are absolutely delightful. And I always say the first one is the hardest. So thank you so much for being my first caller today. And what a total joy to have you on the show. And please call again. I would love that, because you're fantastic and I so enjoyed it. And so if you want to be as brave as Christina and call and talk about fear, this is what we're doing here today. We're talking about what do you fear on Raising the Vibration. It's Raising the Vibration Radio and LA Talk Radio. We're at RaisingTheVibrationRadio.com and LATalkRadio.com. I'm Sheena Metal. I'm at SheenaMetalSpiritual.com. And I'm also at IamRaisingYourVibration.com. And the movement that started all of this is at RaisingTheVibration.org. and IamRaisingTheVibration.com. That's my nonprofit movement of peace, love, kindness, and unity. All right, we're getting Kelly on next. This is so exciting. And Christine, if you're still listening, Christina, come and see me when I'm in Dallas. I'll be there in October for the Embrace Your Spirit Conference, but I will send you a text message and let you know. All right, we're going to get Kelly on now. Time for the Skype dance. Blue, blue, blue. Bow, bow, bow. You want to hear it? Oh, no, they're still doing it. There it is. There it is. Kelly?
Yes.
Hi, welcome to the show. How are you, Hello? My friend? Hi, it's Sheena. How are you?
I'm good. Good, thank you.
It's so good to have you here.
Excited to talk to you. Thanks. My daughter kind of talked me into it.
Oh, I'm so glad she did, and I'm so glad you're here. So tell me about what you fear, because, I mean, I'm being really, really honest tonight.
I had a friend who passed away in March, and it was ruled accident, but I believe it wasn't because of the conversations that we'd had, and he's been financially supporting me for 2 years, and he kept talking about having this life insurance policy, and I did get some money, but it wasn't like what he had said it was going to be, and I don't know if people were honest with me, but my biggest fear, I guess, is that I kind of want to, like, I always watch Ghost Adventures and all these shows, and I thought about buying a device to see if I could hear him or, like, communicate with him, but I'm always scared that I'm going to invite, you know, wrong things into our family, and I don't want, I mean, because I always hear these things about opening doors and,
sure,
you know, invite evil into your house.
Absolutely.
But then I've been so down about him being, you know, because we were so close, and I feel like I can't move on. Like, I just have this dark cloud over me, and I don't know how to break away from it. And it's like, I don't know if it's because I need to resolve answers, and I don't even know if I can get answers, but I guess my biggest fear is that I can't, not being able to move on with my life.
Yeah, it's so hard. It's hard when people pass and you're not sure what to do. So let me tell you, let me give you a little bit of advice, and then we'll talk about fear a little bit. First of all, in this case, I think you're right to be fearful. If you have fear surrounding something, and I just gave a whole big lecture on how there's nothing to fear but fear, but in the case of the way energy works and in the case of the paranormal, if you are, you should never, first of all, you should never get something like that and try to contact somebody who's passed if you don't know what you're doing, really. And you should never do it when you're in a place of fear or a place of desperation, because you're not necessarily going to get the person you're trying to contact. And there's some sort of hitchhiking spirits out there, and they don't always tell you the truth. So trying to contact somebody from the other side by using, you know, machines to capture it, or you don't need machines to open up a hole. You don't need a ghost box or a Ouija board or whatever to do it. But that really is something that you should do when you're feeling really good, really connected, and really strong, not when you're in a place where you feel like you've been weakened by something, just because you don't want to fall prey to something. I think that
right.
That you definitely are going to, you definitely will hear from him. I mean, it's just that the best way that you can communicate with him, the healthiest way, is just to sit in a quiet place and sort of open up your mind and just allow him to have the conversation with you, and don't talk yourself out of believing that it's him talking, because it is. And then don't be fearful. Don't be so fearful that you convince yourself it's not happening, because I think it's normal when we love people and they pass to be scared, to have fear surrounding where did they go. I was just saying to my best friend last night that two very close people to me at one point killed themselves this year, one just a couple weeks ago. and one I didn't know about. It happened in November, but he had been so sort of solitary and pulled back from everybody. I didn't know what was going on with him. And I was just thinking the other day that of all the people in my spiritual work, all the friends and relatives of people and my own that contact me from beyond, I haven't heard from either of these people, and how kind of strange that is to me. But you have to kind of just let it happen when it's supposed to happen. And I know there's also fear surrounding what's going to happen financially because it's somebody who took care of you. And that's another thing that we fear, right? We're terrified that our financial sustenance, as we know it, is going to go away, that we're going to lose everything and then lose everything. I mean, I think that's a very real fear that we have.
Well, yeah, it is. It has put us in a financial spot, but I guess it's not so much it was about the money. It was just more about that he was so on me all the time. Like, are you, you know, why are you not doing this? You know, get on it, do it. You know, you can do this. And
right.
Always pushing me and pushing me. And sometimes he really kind of pissed me off sometimes because I just felt like, why are you telling me what to do all the time? But then when he was gone and I didn't have that person to talk to when things went bad or I was having a bad day, or him to tell me, you know, pick myself up and keep going.
Yeah.
I just, I guess I don't know how to do that because it just had somebody telling me to, you know, encouraging me all the time. And now I just feel like, I don't know. I just don't even know if I'm ever going to find somebody like that again. Or
you are, sweetie.
If I can just do it in myself.
You definitely can do it yourself.
I used to be really strong, but
What do you think changed in you to make you feel like you're not strong anymore?
I guess because I always looked up to him because he was like in his mid-70s and, you know, I'm in my 50s, and he was just always a go-getter. Like, he was always competing and kayaking, and it was just always this entrepreneur. And I always looked at him like, well, if he can do it at that age, I can do it. And I, you know, he'd always tell me, don't let things stop you. But then when I go to do, like, when I graduated from this college, I didn't get hired right away because my mom asked me to move out. And so I didn't really have time to look for a job. And then time passed. And then when I went to get in the field, it's like nobody would interview me. And I just kind of lost all my confidence. And then he passed away. And it was just, I felt like I didn't, you know, like I was totally lost then because I didn't have him to sit there and tell me, you know, you can do it. And then I kept thinking, well, maybe it's my age because nobody wants to hire me because I'm, you know, too old for this. Or,
right.
You know, I don't know. I start doubting myself that, and
yeah.
It's hard because I've, you know, like my daughter, I've spent so much money in schooling that it's to a point where you start to ask yourself, do you want to continue with education and get a little bit better credibility to try and get a job? Or it's just hard. I mean,
I know, sweetie.
Like I said, I just feel like
I know
black cloud around me and I can't like shake it off. And
I think it's really important for you, love, to sit down and have a conversation with yourself and with him and listen for the answers from him. But I think it's super important for you to just sit down and talk all this out, because I can feel like just as you're talking about your fears now, it's relieving some of the pressure. When we never talk about our fears, they build up inside of us and it's almost like we're continually holding our breath, you know?
Right.
And it's not normal. It's not natural to do that.
Right. I know I'm good at telling my daughter what to do with my kids, but I just, it's like I need to apply it to myself.
Exactly.
Then,
yeah, you need to remember that you have all the skills in the world. You just need to believe in yourself. Yeah.
And it's hard, I guess.
I know, sweetie. I'm so
sorry. I mean, it gets harder as I get older. I don't know why. I guess because...
Oh, I think everything's harder as we get older.
My kids get older and they don't depend on me as much. And before, it was always like, I have to do this. I have to do this for my kids and better myself. And then now that they're kind of independent, it's like I kind of lost the motivation. Why am I doing this again? You know, it probably sounds silly, but
no.
I kind of lose weight.
Doesn't sound silly at all, sweetheart. It sounds like you're just in a bad place, and it's normal when you get into that place. Like I was talking about at the beginning of the show, when I had all this health stuff this year, that's when all the fear really comes creeping back, right? And I think it's perfectly normal.
I'm going through menopause, and
right.
I just have all this, like, everything's happening this year that is like, oh, man.
Right, and there's your old enemy fear is back. Yep, I totally understand.
And then my son took a security job, and, he tells me he's scared, so then I'm scared for him because I think, oh, God, if something happens to him, I don't know what I'll do. And,
yeah,
you know, it's just, it's like I don't know. I feel like there's just all this negative around me, and I don't.
I think you need to sit down, sweetheart, and talk all your fears out loud. Just talk them all out loud to the universe, and then listen for the messages. And just getting them out will help her. Write them all down on a piece of paper and then set it on fire. Let the fear know that you're fighting back, because and that it doesn't have the upper hand. I think that's so important, sweetheart.
That's funny, because I had somebody tell me to do that with men I've dated in the past that weren't good relationships, and somebody said to write their name on the paper and tell them, because you're connected once you've been in a relationship, you have a connection to them, so write their name down, burn it, and
let it go,
and it worked.
Yep,
it was really weird because it worked.
Yep.
It's like I didn't seem to have any more, past issues of what had happened in the past. Like I forgot about it and I kind of moved on, but I didn't think about doing that for things that are causing me, doubt and fear. And
yeah, that's the best thing that you can do, my friend. It's just let it go. When you're saying, you know what, fear, you don't control me anymore, and I'm done with you.
Okay.
You take care of yourself, sweetheart. And
right.
I thank you so much for the call and for being so honest and so wonderful and for coming and calling tonight, because I know it takes a lot of honesty to do it, and I appreciate it. Everybody, what do you fear? Be as brave as Christina and Kelly and call and let us know what it is that you fear. That's what we're talking about on Raising the Vibration, all this show. I'm your host, Sheena Metal, and I've confessed some fears tonight. And of course, there's other fears people know about, but I've told a lot of my deepest fears tonight. What do you fear, my friends? And what are you doing to try to get past those fears? It's very important. If you want to be on the air, you just send me a text, 818-437-0886. That's 818-437-0886. That's my cell phone. And then I will put your number into my magic Skype system. And we will get you on the air. And it will be very awesome. I am right now, as we speak, putting the link up so more folks can join us. I see there's quite a few in the chat room. And that's very exciting. And you're all talking a lot, which I love. Anybody who's in the chat that wants to be on the air, text me, because I can't always see your messages. 818-437-0886. That's 818-437-0886. All right, we're going to get Christy on the line. And then I will have a sec to check the phone. and see who else wants to be on with us tonight. Talking about fear, what do you fear, my friends? And what are you doing to eliminate the fear from your life? That's very important. All right, we're calling Christy right now. And then we've got another one lined up and ready to go. 818-437-0886. That's what you call. Hang on. Nope, it's calling. Good. Okay. Are we ready? Christy, yeah, you with me? Hi, how are you?
Yes, ma'am.
I got
I'm
you.
I'm doing good.
I got you talking about fear tonight, sweetheart. Does it fear you? That mm-hmm. Is it fearful that I'm making you talk about fear?
No, not really. It's a little nerving, but so, not bad.
So what do you fear, my friend?
I have my two biggest fears are the doctors and spiders.
Okay. Okay.
Now, I know where my spider fear comes from. My sister caused that one.
Yeah.
She would put the tarantula in my bed when I was sleeping.
Yeah.
But my fear of the doctors, I don't know where that comes from. I've had it my whole entire life.
Yeah. Now, have you had physical problems?
No. I mean, I don't go to the doctors unless I absolutely have to.
Okay.
Because I don't know what it is. I don't like them.
Yeah, you know, I don't think anybody likes them. I don't think anybody likes going. But I have had so many problems in my life, the health problems, that you would think I would be used to it. Like I said earlier, you think it wouldn't even be anything that even worried me anymore. But it still freaks me out.
I mean, the first time I remember my fear of the doctors, I was 3. And I got bit by a dog. And my mom said I wasn't crying or anything when I came in the house and told them the dog bit me. Until she said I had to go to the doctor.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I've bled all over my face because the dog got me in my face. And I was fine, she said. Until what she said, we have to go to the doctor, and then I'll lose it.
Okay. So let me ask you something. Mm-hmm. Do you consider fear and anxiety to be the same thing?
No.
Okay.
And I don't... To me, it's an irrational... fear. I don't know what caused it. I don't know why I have it. It's now anxiety with me. I have anxiety when I'm in the car, especially with my husband.
Okay.
Riding in the car with him is a very almost panic attack the whole time.
Okay.
Because he drives crazy. To me, he drives crazy.
But do you have anxiety anywhere else but in the car?
I have. From time to time, I have issues.
Okay. Yeah.
But most of them are in the car.
Because I consider my anxiety to be the same as my fear. I think the anxiety, and I didn't always think this, but I now think that my anxiety is a manifestation of my fear. The fear starts it, and then the anxiety comes from the fear.
That would make sense. Like with me, another time that my anxiety kicks in real good is like when I'm going to a place that I've never been before, or I don't know anybody. I just, those places are a little hard to do. I almost have panic attacks, but I've calmed those down a little bit.
Well, I think that's definitely fear, sweetheart. That's 100% fear. Don't you think?
Because I guess so. It probably really is a fear. I mean, I don't know what it is. Maybe it's, I guess I'm shy. I am a shy person to a point when it comes to like going someplace where I don't know anybody or nobody's going with me that, you know, I know.
Right. Yeah.
That's really hard for me to do.
Yeah. 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 I understand. That was one of my mom's big things. She had a hard time with that. She always wanted to know somebody somewhere, and she always laughed that she never knew anybody.
right. But see, when you were in Dallas or Louisville, I mean, if I hadn't already talked to you and been in communications with you, I probably would not have gone.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just because it's out of my comfort zone. It's somewhere, you know, I don't know anybody and nobody was going to be able to go with me. And
yeah. But how did you feel having gone the first day? How did you feel like when you came back the second day and the third day? Was that easier?
Oh, yeah.
Because it was because you met some people you knew the first night, so then it seemed like you would know familiar faces the second day?
Yeah, and it was a little less, I was a little more calm myself, you know, with the drive out there, because I don't go very many places. I like to stay home. I don't know what, I just gotten that way in the last few years. I can stay home and never go anywhere, and I'd be just fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, so the drive out there, you know, and not knowing where I'm going, even though I have a GPS telling me where to turn, I still don't know where I'm going.
Yeah, that helps,
so,
right?
All that anxiety there is what keeps me from doing certain things sometimes, I think.
I agree. When my phone fell in the pool and I had to go the next day, first of all, I didn't have a phone that night. And you don't realize what anxiety that creates for you now. I was like, oh my God, am I, what if I died? What if I had a heart attack? What if I fell down the stairs? I couldn't call the cops. Like, you don't realize how dependent we are now on our phones until you don't have one. And then.
Exactly.
Because I didn't have a house phone anymore. Not forever. Then when I went to go to the Verizon store to try to get the water sucked out of my phone, I mean, I thought I knew where it was. I looked at the directions on my laptop and I thought, oh yeah, I think I know where that is. And then I went to drive there and I couldn't find it right away. And I started panicking because I hadn't written the address down. You're so used to just having the phone in your car and being able to look anything up and have the GPS and be able to say, oh, I forgot where this is. I can look it up. And I literally thought, I could either ride around here all day or I'm just going to have to figure it out. And then I thought, what if the car breaks down today? And then I said to myself, you have a brand new car. Your car is 2 months old. It's not going to break down. But, you know, all these things you don't think about until you suddenly don't have your phone. And there's a very big feeling of being out of control. And the feeling of being out of control makes me very fearful. So that was kind of a white knuckled day. And then they sent me to another place to try to get my phone repaired. And they said, oh, it's just here. And I said, you're going to have to draw me a map. And these two millennials are looking at me like, what's a map? And then the girl was like, oh, I know what a map is. And then he's trying to write it like, okay, so here's this corner and here's this corner. She's like, no, this is the corner. He's like, no, it's over here. And she's like, don't you know how to draw a map? And I'm thinking, oh my God, I'm never going to get to this place. And it was like two blocks away because I no longer had the security of having the phone. So I think inevitably things that make us feel out of control, like having to live without a phone and then having to live without my data this last couple months, I think inevitably that makes us stronger. But that being said, I also think that it's terrifying. And
it definitely is.
It, you know, we going through the hardest, scariest things in the end is what makes us the strongest.
That does do that.
For me, every time I've gone through a medical thing and survived it, like being able to walk a little bit now again, it's made all the difference in my life. So,
when I had my gallbladder taken out a few months ago, I mean, I should have probably had that done 10 years ago if I would have gone to the doctor, because I had this little pain that would just come and go. You know, I would have had it done a long time ago, and it wouldn't have been as bad as it was when I went.
Yeah.
But it took an act of Congress to get me to go to the hospital. I mean, yeah. I was in dire pain. I mean, I was just in so much pain, I just couldn't do anything.
Yeah. And it's awful, right? I mean, the gallbladder surgery, you think it's going to be, they act like it's going to be easy breezy, like, they're just going to come and take it out. But it's right by your solar plexus, and it can be a lot. But the gallbladder pain is way worse.
Oh, yes. It was, and I didn't have any gallstones or anything like that. And I don't know, the doctor told me, I told my mom that it wasn't the largest one he'd ever seen, but it was one of the largest ones he'd seen.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. And did you have the thing where it was affecting your liver levels?
I wouldn't know.
Okay.
I mean, it was just, it was an all of a sudden, I mean, it was just hurting so bad. I mean, my husband literally forced me to the emergency room that night, forced me into the car.
Yeah.
And forced me to go to the hospital.
Yeah. Passing a gallstone, those passing of the gallstones is one of the worst pain I ever had in my life.
But for me, you know, other than that, you know, I'm pretty healthy. When I was younger, you know, I had a few medical issues and those were difficult to get through. But ever since I was, you know, old enough to make my own decisions about going to the doctor, you know, I'm not going.
You're not hysterical. Going. That's fantastic. Well, I don't want to be the one to say you should go because there's times where I haven't gone when I was supposed to. But I do think in the end, it's probably easier when you go.
Yeah, things can get a little out of hand, obviously, but we're working on that one.
Yeah.
Slowly but surely.
Absolutely. I love that story.
Baby steps.
You're the best.
Baby steps.
Yep, and me too. Baby steps through all of it, sweetheart. Baby steps through the fear and anxiety. You're wonderful, sweetheart.
Yes,
and thank you so much for the call, and I will talk to you soon. Christy, thank you so much. And, of course, Christy's also one of my virtual ushers during my Saturday night spiritual service that we just had, and we will have again on October 12th. And it's and oftentimes helps out in the chat room when I'm doing live videos, and it's so nice to have her help all the time. She's lovely. Great for her to come see me in Dallas. And hopefully we'll come back and see me in October, October 31st to November 3rd. I'm there for the Embrace Your Spirit Conference. So that's going to be fun. And then October 12th is my next SaturdayNightSpiritual.com service. And I have two interesting webinars if you want to take part. One is about being an empath and one is about staying positive in the face of narcissists. The first one is at WhyDoIFeelEverything.com. And the second one is at StarveTheDark.com. Why Do I Feel Everything is the empath workshop. The narcissist one is called Feed the Light and Starve the Dark, and it's at starvethedark.com. And a new one coming up on October 4th about how crystals can make your life better at meetthecrystals.com. And I have to get the page set up for that. Right now it just forwards over to my I Am Raising Your Vibration page, but sign up for that. And just, it's, you know, it's kind of like a lot like this, except I'm talking and I take questions in the chat. Which I haven't taken questions from the chat because people can call in here. But that's basically what it's like. It's an hour and a half class, and I do take questions during that time. And they're a lot of fun. So just things going on with me. Always like to let you know what's going on with me. All right. So we're going to get Kristen on. And then we'll see who else is texting me after that. God, we're almost out of time. I mean, plenty of time to take Kristen's call, but I don't know if we'll have time to take another one afterwards. Maybe. Maybe. Let's see. Let's see how long of a call this is. All right, magic Skype people. Here we go. Well, that just was typed in all wrong, wasn't it? My butterfingers. There we go. Here we go. We're getting her on now. I won't make you listen to the magic Skype song, but it is weird, isn't it? Bow, bow, bow. Wee, wee, wee. So strange. Like, who said, oh, you know, it would be great when you're calling people, we should play this little song and this is what it should sound like. I mean, sometimes you question the logic of people. Okay. I think I got it right now. Kristen, are you with me?
Hello. I'm with you.
Welcome to the show, my friend. I'm so glad to have you here. I know it's under weird circumstances talking about fear, but I appreciate you being brave enough to call you in. So what do you fear, my friend?
I fear cemeteries.
Really?
Yes. When I was a little girl, my very first funeral that I went to was my great-grandmother Frances' funeral. And my brother and sister went with me, of course, my mom, and she had died of a heart attack and an aneurysm. It was a closed casket. My sister was, you know, screaming, yelling at my mom, open up the casket. I want to hug her. I want to hug my grandma, you know, all that stuff. Well, we went through the whole, you know, showing and the burial and all that stuff. And later that night, after we had the services, I began to have these dreams that would be a reoccurring dream until I was 12 years old. And I would be walking through the cemetery
And on the headstones, there would be pictures of people on the headstones.
Sure.
And in my dream, these pictures would come to life and these people would tell you how they died. And so that really kind of freaked me out.
That's like some serious Haunted Mansion shit right there.
Yeah. And like, I thought, you know, I'm starting to get over it and, you know, maybe it'll be okay. I really don't want to step into cemeteries unless I absolutely have to. Well, my great-grandfather died when I was 16 years old, and he was a highly decorated police officer, and he had done a lot of service throughout the years, and there was a lot of people at his funeral. There was, like, I'd say 250 people at his funeral. And so we go to the burial site, and I'm in the front row, and he also served as a pilot in World War II as well, and they did the 21 gun salute.
Mm.
And when they did the 21 gun salute, it made me jump. And so many people were there that they were trying to push in, you know, as far as they could under the awning near the casket so that everybody could hear what was going on. And when they shot off those guns, somebody behind me jumped too, and I lost my footing and my leg went halfway into under where the casket was, and I thought I was going to fall in the grave for sure. So I've not really been great with cemeteries since.
Yeah, that is scary. Cemeteries I don't think are very scary, just because, I mean, just for me, I mean, everybody has different fears, right? Me, because I just don't feel like the anything's in the bodies anymore. To me, it's kind of like a really fancy dump. It's a terrible thing to say, because people go there and worship their dead. But I mean, if you died and you were going to haunt something, would you haunt your dead body at a strange place, or would you go haunt your house or your friends' houses? I mean, I just don't think I would haunt my dead body in a strange place.
I don't think I would either. I'd probably go haunt my family just to let them know that I was okay. You know, like, I made it out. I'm here. I'm okay.
Yeah.
It's cool. But I don't know why, but like, I just had that reoccurring dream. Like, night
I don't
after
blame
night
you. That's a scary dream.
Old.
Do you know what I think? And, I think is really scary about cemeteries, or really, you know, about cemeteries. I don't even know the world. Just is the all of the energy of all of the sadness that surrounds cemeteries, yeah, because of all the people that have come and brought their grief and their sadness there. That I think is palpable in a cemetery.
Yeah. Well, it's like when I walk in there, it's like my stomach drops and I start to just like get really shaky. And
oh, sweetie.
Like my breathing gets lathered when I go into a cemetery. It just, I don't know what it is. It just, it's like an energy shift for me.
Wow.
When I walk in.
And have you had to go to a lot? Because I haven't been to many in my life.
Let's see. I've been to 1, 2, 3, 4, like 5 funerals in my lifetime so far.
Okay.
So,
yeah, I've
had to bury family members, and then I had to bury a friend when we were younger. He was only like 17 when he died.
Yeah.
But, I mean,
I think I've only been to 5 too. I think I hang with a lot of people who just do cremation and memorial services. My grandmother's memorial, I don't remember if, I know she was cremated, but I keep thinking, and maybe I'm wrong, I should ask one of my cousins that's older. I keep thinking that she actually went into like a mausoleum, you know, where you put the ashes in a thing behind a stone. I think that might have been at a cemetery. And then both my father's parents and my aunt that died on his side, those were all funerals. And then a friend's mom, I went to a friend's mom's funeral. But I've been to more celebrations of life that were, you know, somebody got cremated and there was just a big party. I think that I actually, including my mother's memorial, was like that more than I think that there's actually been a lot of cemeteries. And my mother loved, as a matter of fact, I went to the cemetery a lot when I was a kid because my mother loved the history of cemeteries. And when I was a brownie, she was my brownie leader. And brownies, for people who don't know, are baby Girl Scouts. She was my brownie leader. Mm-hmm. And we got one of our patches by going to a cemetery and doing, I don't remember what they call it. Somebody correct me in the chat. It's where you put like a piece of tissue paper over the headstone and then you run a pencil over it and it gives you the imprint of the headstone. It's a thing that people do.
Oh, yeah, I know. I don't know what
I don't remember what it's
terminology
called.
Is
yeah,
for it. Yeah,
but we did that, and that's how
about.
I got one of my badges for brownies. I think it might be the history badge or something.
Wow.
I don't know. My mom thought the cemeteries were full of so much rich history, and she loved them. But interestingly enough, when it was time to make arrangements for her, the first thing was, don't you dare bury me in the ground. So, you know, no, she didn't want to be buried in the ground, but she loved the history of cemeteries.
See, all the funerals that I've been to, besides my late husband was cremated. He was like, your mom, don't bury me in the ground.
Yeah.
I want to be cremated.
Right. That was her thing. Don't put me in the ground and don't throw me in the ocean. Those were her two things. Like, because my dad had done Neptune Society, and she was like, don't you dare put me in that dark, cold ocean. And I'm like, okay.
Right. I can't blame her there. I don't know what it is about cemeteries. It's still, to this day, I still feel that weird shift.
Yeah.
Even if I drive by one, I don't know. The anxiety is just like, you know. I've been trying to overcome it, and I've been trying to get a little bit better. And like my boyfriend, we were driving in the car last week and we passed by this huge cemetery. It looks really old, you know, and kind of looked at it. And I was a little bit nervous, but something was just like, you should go check that out. And I was like, I think maybe I should go check that out one day. He's like, aren't you afraid of cemeteries? I was like, yeah, but I guess I got to start trying to get over that fear at some point in time. You know, I got to face that fear.
Mm-hmm.
So I haven't done it quite yet, but it is, yeah, a legitimate fear. I mean, I don't know. Ever since I started having that dream, it was just very strange to me, and I could not shake it for anything that I tried.
Wow. Where are you at in the country?
I'm in Indiana.
Okay. All right. So lots of old, rich history there.
Yes. Yes. Lots and lots of old, rich history here. There's like burial plots, like cemeteries from the 1700s and 1800s. There's a lot of, there's this one cemetery that is like supposed to be one of the most haunted places in the United States. I can't remember what it's called. What the exact cemetery is. I've been to it. I went with a group of people. It was like 20 people, but they said that there's a spirit of a lady whose baby passed away, and that she sits on a in front of the grave on a tree stump, but she can be seen some nights still crying and mourning for her child.
Wow.
I can't remember what the name of the cemetery is.
That's creepy.
Is. Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty creepy.
I mean, they said that it's like one of the most haunted places in the United States. It's like on the top 10 list.
Wow. I was in Mississippi, and we were supposed to take a cemetery tour for like a historic week. And we were there checking out the cemetery. The person I was traveling with said, oh, yeah, my brother got locked in here once all night long. And I'm like, I'm not doing the tour. I refuse. I wouldn't do it.
No,
I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do it. It was a night tour. And they're like, I'm thinking, no, I don't want to do it. If there's any chance I could get locked in, no. The answer's no.
Yeah, no.
And that's because it's a cemetery. I just don't want to be locked in anywhere all night long. But especially in a small town where nobody's going to come. I mean, if you're in Los Angeles and you're locked in someplace, you call the police and say, look, I was visiting my friend's grave and they locked the door and I can't get out of here. And the police will come and somebody will come and let you in. But in a small town like that, where everybody goes to bed at like 8 o'clock, I mean, who's going to come?
Mm-hmm.
So, no.
Well, that particular cemetery there, they have a sign posted that says you're not allowed to be in there past 10 o'clock at night. And there's a security guard that actually drives through the area because it's there's like a mansion on the property, and then they have horses there that people can go horseback riding, and like there's like golfing and stuff on the same property where it's located. So they have security that drives through that area. But there's a lot of cemeteries here that they have the posted sign that you're not allowed to be in there past a certain time at night. And a lot of them lock the front gates with the padlock here.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. We don't like that. Do you have fear of getting locked in somewhere? Or is that just my weird thing?
No, not really fear of being locked in there. The only other fear that I really have is if I'm driving on the interstate and I get boxed in with semi.
Oh, I don't like that either. Yeah, I'll move out of the way if there's trucks all around me. I don't, even if it's just minivans or big pickup trucks, I don't like to not be able to see forward.
Well, I don't like not being able to see on the sides of me or forward, for one.
Yeah, I don't like it either.
But another thing was, it was several years back when I first had got my driver's license and started driving. I was merging onto the interstate, and you know, at the end of the lane when you go, you know, to merge on the off ramp onto the actual highway, there was a semi driver who had fallen asleep at the wheel, and he hit the back left fender of my car.
Oh my goodness.
And my car spun. It started to go toward the medium of the concrete median. And I turned the wheel the other way. Like, I had taken driver's education, and I remembered him saying, hey, you know, if you're spinning out toward this way, turn the wheel in the opposite direction and just mm-hmm. keep turning it as hard mm-hmm. as you can and slam your foot on that gas. Well, I slammed my foot on the gas, and I got about halfway through the turn with my car facing the other way with the semi coming toward me, and my car stopped all of a sudden. So I revved on the gas again, slammed it all the way down, and just hit the wheel as hard as I could, and it finally turned, you know, all the way full circle. And the guy just kept going. He didn't stop. He didn't do anything. And I got off the exit, and I didn't get on the interstate again for several years. It was another several years before I felt fully comfortable to even get on the interstate, but I won't go long distances on the interstate.
Interesting. That is scary. I was in a freeway accident, two actually. But my first one, I was 23, was really scary. That's when I had my near-death experience. And I had a weird fear of, because I was in the right lane, he was in the left lane, and he realized he missed his exit. So he just kind of cut perpendicular across traffic, and I swerved to miss him and hit the sound wall head on. And so years, I had a weird thing about when you see a car in your periphery, you know, when a car is coming in and they're coming into the left, they're gonna live in that middle lane for a while till they can merge over. I would see a car in the periphery of my left eye and just be like, and just freak out. Because I felt like it was going to come all the way in and sideswipe me.
Yeah, see, and that's not good either. That anxiety having to drive down the road is just nerve-wracking. And see, where I live at, it's like constant semis on the interstate everywhere, because Indiana is considered, you know, the crossroads of America. So in trucking, they have to drive through like everywhere. And I guess it helps that my boyfriend is a truck driver, you know? So like when he's in the car with me, he's just like, okay, calm down. It's going to be okay. He's like, gives me like the little different kind of tips to kind of like help me, you know,
that's
better
nice,
on,
right? That's good.
You know? So that is always good. I appreciate that.
That's lovely that he's so sweet.
Huh?
It's lovely that he's so sweet.
He is. He's very sweet. Very wonderful. Very caring.
You're very lucky.
I am. I'm very lucky.
Because there are people who would kind of be like, just buck up, you know? Or just don't be so scared. Not everybody's so sweet about people's fear.
I'm glad that he's really understanding. And, you know, being somebody that does drive, you know, a big rig and things like that, it's like, at least he has that experience. So I know that, like, he's never even been in an accident before. He's never had any issues with driving a truck, anything. You know, and I'm fortunate to be able to have somebody that experience be able to give me the advice, you know, because there are some things that I just be like, I'm not sure what to do.
Yeah, of course. Of course.
So he wants to make sure that my safety is the utmost important.
I love that.
It's always nice. Yeah. He's wonderful.
You are wonderful, sweetheart, and I appreciate the call. And I hope you get over your fear of cemeteries, because I hope everybody listening tonight gets over their fear of everything. That is my wish for you. including me. I hope we all get over our fears, because fears suck, and they're stopping us from living our fullest lives. And so I'm working on mine. I hope you're working on yours. And let's all work on being fearless. It's Raising the Vibration. We're at RaisingTheVibrationRadio.com. We're at LATalkRadio.com. Don't forget to email me and let me know what you think of the show. And I'm Sheena Metal at Sheena Metal Spiritual, and I am RaisingYourVibration.com. And the movement that started all is at RaisingTheVibration.org. It's my nonprofit movement of peace, love, kindness, and unity, and also at IamRaisingTheVibration.com. Till I see you next week on Raising the Vibration, every Monday from 7 to 9 p.m. right here on LA Talk Radio. Do these five things for me. Seek peace, live in love, lead with kindness, embrace unity, and always, always, always raise your vibration. I'm Sheena Metal. Until I see you next week, I love you. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to Raising the Vibration with Sheena Metal, only on LA Talk Radio.
Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.